kept dripping.
And we're back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. I'm Phil Taylor, and I did ask the question, has the NDP or anyone said anything in Canada about this illegal boarding of vessels off Crete? And Heather McPherson, MP, said the following: I condemn the Israeli assault on the global Samud flotilla, a peaceful civilian humanitarian initiative. The unlawful detention of flotilla participants in international waters. I'm getting the additional words. I hope I do. But we've got the point here that, yes, Heather McPherson has spoken up. And it is, of course, she's the minister. The Foreign Affairs is her department. And she has been courageous on this issue, particularly Palestinian rights. And we very much respect her for that. Unfortunately, I cannot access the rest of the text, but I want to register respect for Heather McPherson for having done that. And I believe we are joined by Amar of the who is a spokesperson for the Samud Flotilla. Are you there, sir?
I'm here. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're very appreciative of you joining us. It's a burning issue. I'm very pleased. And just as we're reaching you, I've been asking, and I know your organization is asking, when is Canada going to speak up on what has just happened? Tell us a bit about the Global Samud and the facts as you know them at this moment and your concerns about the response of our government.
Definitely, the response from our government is the main issue here in, for us here in Canada. But Global Samud was trying to deliver humanitarian aids to the people in Gaza. Now, for those who are unaware, people in Gaza are still under siege, even 200 days after the alleged ceasefire, which wasn't really a ceasefire because they're still killing people there. They're still blocking food, medicine from entering the people of Gaza. So this was an attempt to break the siege. It was fully a humanitarian mission led by civilians trying to break the siege and deliver this much-needed aid to Gaza. Unfortunately, the occupation, the Israeli occupation forces, intercepted these boats 900 kilometers away from the shore of Gaza. Mm-hmm. This was basically near Greece. Mm-hmm. So this is kidnapping. This is piracy. Mm-hmm. And to see that, three actually, if you count the Canadian who was left on a damaged boat to drift towards a storm, were attacked. Two were kidnapped in international waters, almost 1,000 kilometers away from that state's borders. And for our government to be silent is very shameful and shocking, to be honest. Yes. Like, I understand our government hasn't had the best positions when it comes to Israel-Palestine. But mm-hmm. to have our own citizens kidnapped without an official statement from our government, without our government condemning in the strongest language this illegal interception, was very shocking and disappointing to me.
Yes. And we could contrast it with that of democratic Spain, a republic like Canada, and they've been exemplary. And I believe they... an important figure in North America, the mayor of New York, found the courage to and the conscience to speak up.
Yeah, and I expected more from our government, to be honest. So far, it's been just two MPs from the NDP that I know of. Maybe there's more from the NDP, but Jenny Kwan and Heather McPherson spoke against this, but not our official government. Yes. Who are the ones who should be dealing with this head-on and speaking about it.
Yeah. How about, has the Canadian, they're in Greek waters, there's Canadian representation in Greece. Don't they provide personnel because Canadians are involved? They don't have to take any position other than access Canadians and make sure their rights are protected, right?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. We are not asking here for political positions where this is not about left or right or where do you stand. This is about basic duty of our government to protecting its citizens, citizens who did not break any laws. I have to say that as well. This is not people who broke a certain law in a certain country and they're being punished for it. These are people who broke zero laws that are being kidnapped for no reason. Yet our government, even our embassy in Greece, did not do what the absolute minimum to ensure the safety of these people.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how many boats are involved and how many people. And of course, it's moving as we speak. Are they two individuals, one from Brazil, one, I believe, from Spain?
Were
taken, as you said, kidnapped. But the situation is in flux, right? I mean, do you know, for example, will the flotilla continue or what's going to happen here?
It's not very clear what's happening right now. The main focus is on getting the two members of the steering committee, Safe and Tiago. They were actually taken all the way to the occupied land, to Israel. And they have not been released as of now. The most recent reports from their lawyers saying that they're being tortured, they're being put in isolation, a bright light in their cells 24/7. They went on a hunger strike to protest this, and we don't know what's going to happen to them. They told the lawyers that their jailers told them that you're going to be killed or jailed for 100 years. And we're still waiting for news about them, unfortunately.
I just read before we went to air a piece by Chris Hedges. I don't know. Did you happen to see that? He's written a really brilliant profile of the two individuals.
I unfortunately didn't see it yet. We've been busy trying to coordinating the safety of the safe return for the Canadians who want to return back home and keeping up with the news. So it's been, as you could imagine, busy times. Yeah.
Now, where can people go to get direction on what is? I know you're calling on that there be demands of respect for freedom of navigation, charging the Israelis with obstructing humanitarian aid, also endangerment with actual damage to vessels, and of course arbitrary detention. Incidentally, How bizarre is it that civilians, not unarmed, all this is, they're being accused of terrorism? The Canadian government ought to be shouting from the rooftops because it makes an macabre absurdity of the using the word terror. Pardon the speech, by the way.
Oh, no, yeah, it's... Israel been getting away, the world been letting Israel to get away with almost anything. I mean, there was a recent genocide that they did, and the world, yes, some people condemned it, but they got away with it, and they keep doing it. So when you operate with such impunity, of course you can say whatever you want and make up any lies you want. Anybody who criticizes them, they're calling them terrorists or anti-Semite. Despite that, many Jewish organizations criticize Israel. So how do you call these religious Jews anti-Semites?
Yes.
That doesn't even make sense. So same thing, they just call anybody who opposes them a terrorist.
Yes.
We could be labeled terrorists right now for talking about them.
Yes.
And this is ridiculous, to say the least. Because they would also water that term terrorist. Terrorist is a serious allegation. It's for people who commit serious crimes, who cause terror, not for people who get in a boat, not for like students and nurses and medics who get in a boat with food and medicine to try helping some people who are dying from hunger right now.
Yeah.
These are not terrorists. These are heroes.
Yes.
The terrorists are the ones who kidnap people in international waters who are not breaking any laws, damaging boats and leaving people drifting towards a storm. This sounds more of terrorism to me than nurses taking food and medicine to people in need.
Yes. And I do think it's apparent to the Canadian people. I'm sure your organization and others point out the Canadian people have registered that they understand that Israel has committed and is committing crimes in Gaza. And we simply do not have political parties. Just a little glow of possibility in the case of the NDP with McPherson speaking up. I expect this, by the way, your activity underlies this. It gives people a chance to focus their objection to what Israel is doing. Could you talk about where people can get information about the global Samud? But could you, by the way, explain, what is Samud? This is a new word for me.
Samud is actually an Arabic word that means resilience, or steadfastness, to steadfast or to be resilient against anything. Mm-hmm. It represents the Palestinian people. They've been resilient for around 80 years against this occupation, who killed them, stole their lands, kicked them out, made them refugees. And they're still fighting to try to get their rights back, their land back.
Yes.
So that's where the word Samud came from. Yeah. As for information, we have there's a website I'm going to say to the listeners in a second. But also for the Canadian delegation, we have an Instagram page where we try to post our updates regularly, which is called Global Samud Canada. And for those who are listening to us, Samud is spelled S-U-M-U-D. Mm-hmm. S-U-M-U-D, Samud. So Global Samud Canada on Instagram will give you the information that we get. We try to update our crowd as soon as we hear anything about the situation.
Mm-hmm. The flotillas has been a brilliant, and it really lives up to the word humanitarian. It has been civilian, it is nonviolent, and it has what a history. Many beautiful and outstanding people around the world have contributed to it and put their lives on the line there. This effort now is really fulfilled that. The Israelis, I think, are having a problem by behaving more and more outrageously to go to Greece. And maybe I should ask you, I'm indulging my time with, the Greeks have to be almost inflamed by this because that's their waters in which Israel is operating. The population, I mean, I don't know about the government.
Yeah, the population are definitely inflamed. I don't want to speak about the government, but the important thing to point is that, yes, this is an insult to the Greek government. So if this was done in coordination with them, mm-hmm. then that would be very shameful. This is complicity with illegal acts with an occupying force. So I hope that this is not true. I hope that the Greek government will do what's right and will ensure that this will never happen again. Mm-hmm. Because where do we draw the line, right? And this is not just about, like, it doesn't matter where you stand about this situation. It's a principle. If Canadians can be kidnapped somewhere else,
yes.
Without our government defending us, it could be me tomorrow, it could be you, it could be any one of your listeners. Mm-hmm. This could happen to them if the government doesn't feel like acting. The government should act to protect us regardless of the situation, as long as we did not do anything wrong or illegal. And even then, they should keep an eye on us to make sure that we get treated the right way.
Yes.
That's why this situation is very serious and could set a very dangerous precedent.
Yes. And it, by the way, it bespeaks a crisis of the state relations of so-called, Canada and its allies and friends, that this kind of stuff happens and the world sees it and they behave so terribly. Amar, I want to ask you one last question about this. The Israelis turned the individuals over in the off Crete to the Greek authorities. So have the Greeks released them, or do we know that? Anything about that?
Yeah, so around roughly 180, maybe 175, between 175 and 180 people were released.
Mm-hmm.
35 of them had to go to a hospital right away
mm-hmm.
from what they've had to endure on the Israeli boats.
Mm-hmm.
4 of those 35 could not be released, not for legal reasons, because of health reasons, the hospital needed to keep them. Mm. The rest were released. They are now released in Greece. the Canadians are not getting much help from the Canadian embassy or the government. Mm-hmm. We, as their delegations, are taking care of them, making sure that they have somewhere to sleep, mm-hmm. something to eat, and we'll try to ensure their safety for the remaining of their time there.
Are they at liberty, or are they being told they have to do anything, or have they just been released?
They have been released, yes.
Well, that is heartening.
Yeah.
Well, Amar,
now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's still a few more Canadians on boats that are within the regional Greek waters, but they are not sure if they go on land, if they're going to be arrested or what's going to happen to them. That we're still trying to get information on. So there were a total of 56 boats. 22 were intercepted. The rest managed to escape. Mm-hmm. And these rest of the boats are now in Greek regional waters, but they are not sure if they can dock and go on land yet, or if they're going to be in any, if they're going to be arrested or anything like that. Mm. And to answer your previous question about the website, the global website is globalsumudflotilla.org. Again, that's globalsumudflotilla.org, and Sumud is spelled S-U-M-U-D.
We're really very grateful, Amar, and we are going to follow this closely. We're thankful that you exist, that the organization is available, because we're going to need more news, and we'll be certainly back in touch. We're very grateful you took the time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. As they say in the business, this is what we do. And we're very glad to be doing it, because actually what we're talking about is humanitarian duty. This is, as I said, a Taylor Report. I think we have a little more music. We could probably Uncle Bob if we any piece of it. And we'll have a few more words. But we're very, very glad to know about this organization and the work of the people of the flotilla. They're almost a nation built around a conscience. And we'll play some music. We'll be back.
My blue-eyed son, and where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rain you're gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son?
This is Taylor Report again. I thank Pedro for a good choice. Timing, timely. I want to go put context again in this issue. Amar raised some nice points with us. Please ask your MP, ask the parties. As I understand it, and I'm sure Amar is much more up to date than we are, that he said two NDP members had spoken up, but the most important being, of course, McPherson, because that news is, this is someone who's highly qualified on these issues, has already done all the right things and previously actually wore the keffiyeh in Parliament. Take my hat off to her, and very much to be respected for that. And it could be that I'm searching, but there's might be others. We look forward to some leadership And I frankly don't see any other department other than the NDP at the moment where I would expect it. I think Avi Lewis has shown way back that he has a clear grasp. So it's not as though he has to be brought up to date. He's up to date. It's simply a matter of making political choices and living with them. And when in doubt, do the right thing. And the Canadian people will respond. They might even throw their hats in the air, actually, the way they did in New York City. All the mainstream press said, "Oh, don't say any of the forbidden things, or don't shake hands with those guys who wear keffiyehs, etc." And it turned out it didn't hurt his campaign. It actually helped him. Not that don't ever do it because it'll get you votes. Do it because it's the right thing. I want to say again on the matter of let's put it baldly. German rearmament. No, we're not against Germany being secure, but Germany has been secure and has prospered because it played by the rules. But now we have this new amorality, which has probably always been there, like a volcanic materials under the crust. But now there's this idea, oh, it's every pirate system for itself. Well, that all is in violation of our best nature, which was revealed in the UN Charter. And so when Canada says, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll join a Europe and the new Europe. They're being invited. We're being invited by Helsinki. The Finns are saying openly that they want Canada to be part of the European Union. And there's a flirtation remarked upon previously by the Taylor Report of a flirtation between the Prime Minister of Finland and Mr. Carney. And there's something about that Prime Minister that troubles me. He seems to be more teeth than face, and he has a very NATO kind of nature. But basically, it's all about his dream is all about beating the Russians. World War II wasn't about beating the Russians, actually. And peace in Europe isn't about beating the Russians. Peace in Europe used to be imposed by the Russians. It was the Russians who used to come and sort everybody out because the craziness between Italy, France, and Germany, and occasionally Poland, etc. But Russia was the handy person, the handy power. We really have to look at history books. But I would say that the pipeline that was blown up by apparently Joe Biden, they're not saying he did it, but America was so smug about it, and that was a kind of thing that removes political choices. The choice of receiving fuel and therefore having and improving your economy, which Germany had, from Russia, that was exploded literally, and that eliminated choices for Germany in a sense, because if they weren't going to tell the truth about it, that meant that they're locked in to an adversarial relation. You'll notice, by the way, they never accused Russia because Russia didn't do it. And we've all just said, well, let's move on. Well, how about we not move on? How about we go back for a moment and say, what was that? And why don't they have good relations? How about a wonderful situation, as John Lennon used to talk about, where peace breaks out, where we actually say we're not going to define another great system as an enemy. We're just simply going to define them as what they are, a state, and that other states than ourselves worry about their security. If you want security for the West, you have to want security for the East. unless you play the Cold War game, which is our security means we have to arm against them. That is not security. That is a little map toward disaster. And maybe this time, you know, if it happens, as I pointed out, we, like the Europeans in World War I, to find that actually something bad happens to us, because the Americans have been living with this thing where they cause problems in Europe and then put their hands over their ears and go pick up the results. That probably isn't going to be the case if they take a misstep now. This has been the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And Steve Fruitman has a wonderful show coming up. And Pedro, as always, has managed our little difficult path up the hill. We've reached the summit. And we thank him, and we'll see you next week.